Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Jessie Ware, and we are back with Table Manners, the podcast. I'm sat next... Why are you laughing?
Hello, listeners.
Can you come to the mic with season three, Mum? You should know better. Darling. Say hi.
Hi. I'm all there now.
So, tonight, it's a big one.
Yep.
How are you feeling?
I'm very excited because he's someone I truly admire, and I've met him a couple of times at your gigs. And he's warm and charismatic.
I actually think he's far more charismatic in person than he is when he gets interviewed on TV.
Poor man just looks exhausted at the moment. He's running around London trying to sort things out and make progress and make London better for everybody else.
And it is also Ramadan at the moment. So,
And it's hot today.
It's hot. It's been a 30, hot month, to be honest. We have the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, gracing us on Table Manners, the podcast tonight. So Sadiq is, do we call him Mr. Mayor? Do we call him Sadiq? Do we call him Mr. Khan?
I think it's Mr. Mayor, isn't it?
Is it? Quite like that. Sounds a bit like Scandal. It should be in Scandal. Mr. Mayor or Homeland.
Yeah. And it's a huge job, isn't it? Running one of the biggest cities in the world.
Do you think he's doing a good job?
Yes, I do. I think he's addressing things that need addressing.
Me too.
And it's not just about fun, it's about people having homes to live in, it's about people being safe,
clean air,
all of those things, all the important things that you lay down for the future generations.
So it's Ramadan, which means that Sadiq is, Mr. Mayor, is fasting. So he will be breaking his fast on the podcast tonight. So Mum, will you go through the menu, please?
Muslim friends have told me that to break your fast, it's good to have something very sweet. And traditionally, people eat dates, which gives you a bit of a boost of sugar and obviously lots of nice water and drinks. He'll be hungry. So Alex has helped again.
Alex Ware, my brother, if you don't know who that is, the doctor, when he's not saving lives, he's making our desserts.
So he's made fava, which not a lot of people know about. It's a dip, a bit like hummus, but it's made with split peas and onions and garlic. So he's made
it's a bit
that.
Sweeter. It's kind of denser than
Yeah, it's denser. I think chickpea. We could have put more olive oil in. I think Alex made the quantities for about 28 people, but never mind. I've got chopped and fried fish made by my cousin in Manchester.
Okay, so can you explain what chopped and fried fish is,
Mum? It's a mixture of fish that you turn into balls with egg and matzah meal. And I don't think there's any Jewish function, celebration, that doesn't have fish balls at it. So I bought fish balls with the traditional dip that we have, which is chrame, which is a beetroot and horseradish. We've got salmon marinated in
coconut milk,
chili, coriander and onion. Those are going to be grilled. That's your job next, Jessie.
Okay.
Will they be on skewers? Warm would be fine, so we can cook them beforehand. So
it's all quite light, picky things.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think if you've been fasting, I think that to have a big, you know, steak and kidney pie would be too much. And anyway, I didn't buy halal meat. I thought fish would probably be a better option, and it's lighter on your stomach when you've been fasting. And I've made spanakopita, which is a spinach pie, a traditional Greek spinach pie made with spinach and feta. And
yes,
quite a nice salad, which is made with chickpeas and sweet potato.
I mean, there's a lot, so he can just pick, but he won't go hungry.
There's enough for, but probably to cater
his
party of 30.
Appetite's probably really small, though.
It probably is. But I imagine that he might come with people.
Oh, his people. Probably. His peoples.
Yeah.
What is the cat doing? The cat is humping the... Oh, shit. Mum, the cat's about to be sick on your
cream
carpet.
Well, take him outside.
Oh, mate.
Was that a chunder? Quickly, Jessie, get some kitchen roll.
Oh, mate. Whilst you sit in your freaking throne.
Legs tired. done all the cooking. What's your contribution?
My contribution is excellent chat about my night with Eric Cantona last night.
Thank you. Let's hear about that.
I did Soccer Aid, UNICEF's Soccer Aid, which helped raise over 5 million for children all over the world. And I'm a UNICEF ambassador. So for me to have sung Old Trafford and to be there, well, at Old Trafford when we love United, but to be doing it for UNICEF was just so, so special. And I'm so proud of them. They did so well. And the cherry on top
was the
king.
Meeting the king.
Just meeting the king. The king asking me if I wanted to stay for a drink.
Ooh, ah.
Cantona. So, table manners. We have the Mayor of London in my mother's kitchen. Sadiq Khan, thank you so much for coming.
Great to be here. I'm just canvassing early for the next elections. Just check in how you're going to vote next in May 2020. Listen, anything for a vote, Lenny. So,
of course.
It's good to meet your daughter as well. So Jesse goes around now saying I'm Lenny's daughter and stuff. And,
of course.
I'll head to meet you.
Can we say that you accidentally went to the wrong house?
Yeah,
thought you were canvassing already.
I knocked on the door two doors down and... she answered the door and I goes,
Denise.
I said, am I at the wrong house? She goes, I think you are. And then I said, I'm really sorry. And as I was walking backwards, then she called her flatmate out and stuff. And they probably have tweeted as we speak now saying, you know, if the mayor can't get the right house, anyway, let's hope they haven't. But
they didn't slam the door on you though, did they?
I think I've got two Labour votes there.
Yeah, there you go. Well done.
Yeah, they were lovely.
Yes, there were quite a lot of Labour voters.
I hope so. A mayor for all Londoners, Lenny.
Yeah, I know.
Not just
you are.
South London, but yeah.
I know you are.
Yeah, but I'm pleased that we did it at your house rather than Jess's. I hear she's really untidy.
Horrible
kitchen.
Mr. Mayor, come on.
And
this was convenient. Come on, it's South London.
It's great, perfect. I'm not complaining.
And it's a busy time for you. You know, you're doing Ramadan at the moment.
So it's the month of Ramadan, and you probably know this from when you were growing up in South London. But so we fast from pre-dawn to dusk. So the fast today began at 2:52 a.m. So after 2:52 a.m., I can't eat or drink, not even water.
I know.
Not even a smint.
I know.
And the fast opens today at 9:20.
No, but you're lucky you're not in Manchester because I was there yesterday and the taxi driver said it finishes at 9:40.
Yeah, so the good news is, so it's a lunar calendar. What that means is each year it's based on the moon. So the month goes forward by 10 days. So it takes 34 years for it to go all the way around. So I remember when I was little, having summer fasts, and they were tough, and it's gone all the way around now. And so I can't wait for fasts in December and January. They're fantastic.
I mean, you're the mayor. Did you meet with Theresa May today? I mean, like, you're doing a lot. I mean, you're busy.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
I was with the Home Secretary today, and there's a lot going on. And I've got a meeting tomorrow morning early. And so it early starts, late finishes. But, you know, it's not like I'm a junior doctor working silly shifts or
kids taking exams. I wonder how that
is.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the thing that people don't understand. There are concessions. And so, you know, if you're pregnant, if you've got exams, if you've got a job that involves you, you know, needing to have nourishment and stuff, there are concessions. And you can give money to charity, so you can feed, the phrase is you can feed a poor person if you can't fast for whatever reason and stuff. So, I mean, but you know, there are literally millions of people around the world who are fasting, and it could be worse. I could be living in sub-Sahara. So it's not, we've had a heat wave. So the joke amongst the Muslim diaspora is, you know, it's Ramadan when there's a heat wave. Because sod's law, as you know, night follows day, we've had a brilliant last 3.5 weeks, haven't we? And it's
Have you lost weight?
I usually put on weight. Because what happens at the end of a fast is, guess what?
You eat a lot.
You have the iftar. So what happens is, when you start, the pre-dawn breakfast is called the sehri, and the meal that opens your fast is called iftar, and you basically pig out, and you have sort of four meals in one evening. And if you've got a mum like mine, it's all fried food. Or if you've got a mother-in-law like I've got, all fried food. My father-in-law loves fried food. So basically, yeah, any idea you can lose weight is not true. But I've lost a bit, I think, this year.
I want to know when you're sleeping.
Yes, yeah, so the two.
This this is hard, right?
It is. So unlike some people around this table, Lenny, it's not because I'm partying all night and going clubbing with Eric Cantona. Eric Cantona, arc at her. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I know.
I watch your Twitter feed, young lady. the two things that are the most difficult for me are lack of sleep and lack of coffee during the day. I need my caffeine, and so those. I mean, I don't really miss the food. It's the sleep deprivation and the caffeine. And my wife says to me,
"Stay up late."
I will. So what I'll do is, so some days I'll just keep on going till the morning breakfast. Because if I go to sleep, it just, you know, I can't then go back.
So
to
when
sleep.
Do you sleep?
At the moment, I'm on about 4 hours.
So you sleep after the morning breakfast.
About 3.
You're Barack Obama.
Do you go to the mosque as well?
Yeah.
So because after you've eaten, you go to the mosque.
That's right. You see, look at Lenny. She knows about the Tharawi prayers. So basically, at night time after.
Every day.
I've not been going for the last few weeks. I've just been too busy at work and stuff.
So busy.
But it's you know, the idea is this 1 month. I live in one of the richest cities in the world. But fasting gives me empathy for those less fortunate around the world. It does. And whether you're the mayor of London, whether you're a porter, whether you're a minicab driver, whether you are a doctor, the rules apply to all of us.
Yeah.
So it's a leveler. And so you could be speaking to anybody around the world and they'll know about fasting. The joke in Tooting is the one time a day you can't get a minicab is between 9 and 9.30 because they're all up in their fast. And it's true.
You know, half past nine at night, you've had it now.
Yeah,
so, but you were talking about your mother-in-law and your family. You eat a lot of fried food. So what's the kind of typical Ramadan meal?
Yeah, so the rule in my family now is because you know this, a mum thinks the way to their child's heart is by feeding them and overfeeding them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it applies with Lenny and
Jess. Never knowingly undercater.
Quite. So, I think my family now realise that it's not good for me to have all this fried food and stuff. So normally, if I'm going around there or if I'm at home, the culture is you open your fast with a date. Because the story goes, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to open his fast with a date or water. And so you open your fast with a date, have some savouries, and then the fun begins. And then you start eating whatever's been made in the house and stuff. Because I'm fasting and I'm working long hours, I'm not cooking so much during the Ramadan. So yesterday I was with my mother-in-law and father-in-law. He's a fantastic cook. And they started with savoury samosas, which I was told were grilled. I think they were grilled. Pastries, fruit salad. Chickpeas, they're called chane, and matai, sweet Indian dish. That's just the starter.
Oh,
yeah, quite. That's a pre-starter, and then and the main dish my in-laws had cooked two different mince dishes: one with potatoes, one with red kidney beans. Masoor dal, it's like lentils. Two types of rice: plough rice and white ordinary rice. There were chapatis made. Yes.
Do they make them?
My in-laws are great cooks. And you know they've got three children and all of them around, so it's like, you know, it's like heaven, manna from heaven. And then you have a break, and then you have the desserts, and there's five different types of cakes, and so it's a pretty heavy meal. So last night I didn't eat for breakfast because I'm still full from the dinner.
Was that because it was a Sunday and it was kind of a family day, or is this kind of a regular thing during Ramadan that you get together?
The bad news is it's a regular thing during Ramadan, and that's why, you know, mum's love and dad's love for Ramadan, because the kids come around and you have a massive meal and stuff. But it is a family thing, it is a way of coming together.
I want to talk about some of the things that are going on in London. You know, sounds like London.
Yeah.
This is such a good idea.
Thank you very much. So the idea is, I mean, for those Lenny who aren't in the music business.
She's a momager, if you don't know.
I'm a momager.
I've seen you on a Jessie's concert. She's Chris Jenner. So boogieing away. You got a massive round of applause though when Jesse name checked you.
I just didn't think you needed the attention that night.
Yeah, I noticed. I think, where's my name check? No. So the idea is, well, it's a number of things. Look, you will know, Jesse, you know, you speak to most or read about the careers of most London artists who are musicians, singers in the industry. They will tell you the hard graft it was, but they'll also tell you that actually playing at music venues, live gigs, playing in pubs, was really important. That's how you learn your craft. That's how you learn your trade, whether it's yourself, whether it's Adele, whether it's, Ed Sheeran, whoever you
Florence,
talk to. Florence
Welch,
of course, yeah. You learn your trade that way. It's great fun for you. It's great fun for those of us fans who get to go to small gig. What's happened over the last 8-10 years is the number of live music venues has been reduced by half. So between 2008 and 2016, we lost half of our live music venues for a variety of reasons. One,
property.
If you own a pub or a live music venue place, and I come along and say, listen, sell me this to you for X million pounds, I'll turn it into luxury flats, you'll say, why not? Because the rent you get is not a big amount. Also, I could build flats next door to your live music venue, and then my residents will complain about the noise. Mm-hmm. And so you can't afford to pay for noise insulation, and on, business rates and all the rest of it. So I've brought in new policies to make it difficult for you to change the use of that live music venue from music to a supermarket or flats. But also we've said if a new developer comes along, he or she should pay for the noise insulation, not you. But thirdly, we're giving support to live music venues to open and to expand all the rest of it. So we're having this big month in June. We're encouraging grassroots music venues, but also this year is 100 years since the first women got the right to vote. Mm-hmm. And so we're particularly pushing women artists.
Yeah.
Amy McCarthy is helping from Radio One. Other successful artists are helping, up-and-coming artists are helping, and we're pushing women in grime. And so we're trying to push in June, busking, targeting, helping women and stuff. And the idea is have, you know, grassroots music venues flourishing and thriving again. But, you know, this year the Stones played at the London Stadium. The Stones, actually, you go to the 100 Club, they played there, you know, 200 years ago.
Yeah, 100 Club's still open, yeah, I think.
But they've been threatened by developers, they've been threatened by people coming along with, you know, offers.
Look at Fabric. Like, I really appreciated your support of Fabric because somebody who grew, that was my first kind of foray into raving, and I was going out clubbing, and that was the best place to go. And when it was going to be taken, everyone really appreciated your support of trying to keep
That's it. But actually, the
and solution, you're doing one of the Sounds Like London.
Yeah,
that's
right. One there. That's a good example. I've appointed London's first night czar.
Yes, the best title for a job ever.
Except, I tell you what, the funny story is, I was going to call her a nightmare, but I thought we had one of those for eight years before I was mayor. It was called Boris Johnson. I thought, don't call her a nightmare, call her a night czar. And what Amy LeMay is doing is amazing. She works with BBC, you know, Music 6, and she does a great job there. She's got, you know, she understands the night economy, but also what happens in, you know, nightlife of London. And what she did basically is not rocket science. She got around the table, the council, the police, the owner of Fabric, and said, look, what's the issue? What are the concerns you've got? The police have got understandable concerns about, you know, a perception of drugs use and criminality.
It was about the two boys that overdosed.
You can understand the council's concern because, you know, they could be accused of being, you know, reckless / negligent.
It was care. It was property.
Well, but at the end of the day, we got it resolved. And a lot of this is basically, you know, sorting out misunderstandings before they turn into licenses being withdrawn and stuff. Because you know what? Who wants to live in a city where there aren't nice places to go to, whether it's theatre, whether it's, you know, gigs, whether it's, you know, nightclubs, whatever it is. And actually, an amazing stat, 1 out of 8 jobs in London, 1 out of 8 are in the nighttime economy. And that's why I pushed for the night tube to run 24 hours a day on a Friday and Saturday.
I wished it had been there when I was 16, coming back from Fabric,
Quite. And the night overground.
I mean, I was 18, obviously.
Nobody here condones fake ID. But it's really important. It's important also if you're a worker, if you're a porter or a doctor working all the hours God sends, but also it's really important for our economy.
It feels safer as well, weirdly. Like, I feel much safer.
Well, let me tell you an amazing stat. Crime rates on the night tube are less, so it's less crime than there is in the tube in the daytime. The complaints there are actually of antisocial behavior. So people peeing outside Brixton Tube Station or whatever, which we're dealing with the council working closely with us. But we've got British Transport Police on the underground and the night overground. But actually, people like, you know, Jesse, you know, using the night overground, the night tube as a lifeline to get from A to B, not to cause mischief or to do criminality and stuff.
It's quick.
My husband and I were talking. I mean, he tried to negotiate with me. I definitely didn't do it, and I wished I had. But when we were talking about when I was going to go into labour, the fact that the night tube was going to be available was going to be very helpful. I ended up getting a really overpriced black cab that took forever in rush hour on a Monday rainy morning. But it doesn't matter. But we talked about it. And I think he had this really great idea that I was going to be in labour on the night bus.
Well, there's not been
my way to UCH. But
there's not been an example recently of somebody giving birth on a night bus. But that'd been great promo for us.
Great promo. Please, all pregnant women, please use the tube. So let's talk about food, because this is a food podcast. We're going to eat in 10 minutes. That's
10 minutes. Well, we're going to give you a drink first.
Are you gagging for a drink?
Yeah, the last hour is like 24 hours. Each minute feels like an hour.
We're talking about policies.
You often see people around London looking a bit worse for the wear, flagging. Looking a bit tired and flagging, but also looking at their watches very, very often. So it's one time where when I'm speaking at iftars, for example, I've done an iftar in a synagogue with the chief rabbi. How cool is that? So at St. John's Synagogue, gorgeous synagogue, St. John's Wood.
I know, beautiful.
What an amazing synagogue. And the chief rabbi, the new Bishop of London, Sarah Mullally, she's wonderful. And Cardinal Vincent Nichols, we opened our fast together. Well, I was fasting. And it's the one time when you're making a speech where you don't mind people looking at their watches, because they're looking at the watches because they went open their fast. And that's the great thing about London. You know, just think about where else in the world would you have the mayor who is of Islamic faith in a non-Muslim country with the chief rabbi, the leader of the Catholic Church, and the Bishop of London. Isn't that great? And yeah, it's amazing. And that's the sort of stuff we've been doing. And that's one of the roles I think I have as somebody, you know, in a position of inverted commas power and influence, who's of Islamic faith. Because we all know this. There are some people who use the name of Islam to do horrible things, terrorists who justify their actions using Islam. Many of your listeners may not have met Muslims or have mates who are Muslim who may sometimes think that's Islam. And if I can somehow, you know, demystify the myths, but also explain the true face of Islam, I'm happy to do so. But these last few minutes are, you know, they take a long time.
We have us once a year because we're Jewish.
Yes, so, yes.
But when we make a big deal about that 24 hours, I tell you, I'm like...
25,
oh,
Jesse.
Dear, I feel like...
But your head starts to bang about it 4 does, o'clock.
Yeah,
you
start
need
feeling
a cup
it.
Of tea.
Yeah. Well, you know, so
what do you drink when you break your fast? What do you like to do? Do you like a cup of tea or do you like water?
So I would have lots of tea between... you know, the fast breaking and beginning all over again. You know, water's obviously important, but tea's really important as well.
Yeah.
And then you go straight into the mill. Just not trying to hint, but go straight into the mill.
Yeah. We got you, Sadiq. I mean, I don't want to tantalise your taste buds too much. We could go through, tell you what we've got, or we can just wait.
No, please.
We've got 8 minutes. So
yeah, fine.
Are your girls fasting?
No, they've got exams this year. Yeah. So I've said they can't fast because your cat's enjoying the...
Oh, no!
What's your cat called?
Prince.
No, he's just walking in the sink.
Mum, have you got any more? Those were the dates that you were going to break the fast with. So
for those who can't watch what's going on, so Lenny's cat was enjoying... No, it's fine.
Prince, you're dead to us. Get out, you're a disgrace.
He's driving me mad to death. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, the long days, they've got exams and stuff, and it's oppressive for, you know, so I've said they shouldn't fast and stuff. They'd like to fast, but no, it's really hard.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I feel really mean talking about food when we're about to break.
It's okay.
So let's talk, okay, so we ask everybody, which table manner do you dislike in others? Or do you have a bad table manner yourself?
I've got loads.
Come on then.
My elbows are currently on the table as we speak.
Oh, yeah, but snap.
So there's a phrase, there's all the word, which is called by the kaluf. What by the kaluf means is you're so comfortable with somebody else, you can just forget any table manners. And so when you're with your mum a bit, you eat differently to how you eat if you're with Eric Cantona.
I mean, I definitely tried to be a lady with my red wine last night.
Exactly. So short answer is when I'm with friends and family, all the table manners go out the window.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You can just, everything goes. I'm known to eat very, very fast.
I've
got six brothers and a sister, and so the rule was, unless you eat quick, you don't eat.
That's what I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And so the my explanation for speaking fast and eating fast is...
Sorry, that's fine.
Can you turn it off?
He needs to have a cup.
No, it's fine. Honestly, you can turn the kettle off. If it enhances the quality of this podcast, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. But no, so as far as, I mean, I'm quite easy about table manners and stuff. I've never been a snob about, you know, the way the fork goes and all the rest of it and stuff. Eat with our hands, that's what we do. There's a great story about Bill de Blasio, the New York mayor, who had a great campaign running to be mayor.
Yeah.
And one day his poll numbers went down, and they're trying to find out why his poll numbers went down. It's because he had been filmed the night before eating pizza with a knife and fork, and New Yorkers thought that's not how you eat pizza. But that's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm quite easy as far as table manners are concerned.
So you do like to go to gigs?
I do, yes. So you know, I've always enjoyed going to gigs. It's just that now I've noticed more.
Like when you went to Jesse's, they're all kind of looking up at you and pointing at you.
I've been a fan of Jesse's before I was the mayor. And so it's interesting now because people think, crikey, the mayor's here and stuff and he likes music. And it's not because I'm mayor, I've always liked music. And so Florence was great. She was warm up to the Stones
in
the stadium. She was amazing.
She's brilliant.
She only played a couple of her new tracks, but she played all the classics, which is great.
Jesse went to school.
And you? I know indeed. I know indeed. And she came out and did a duet with the Stones.
Yeah, How cool is that? That was so cool. Actually, I was with one of her best mates and we were at the All Points East Festival in Hackney. It's a new one. And she said, "Babe, what are you doing today?" And she went, "Oh, I'm just singing with the Stones, babe."
Yeah, nice.
As you do. Nice. As you do.
Says the woman who's with Eric Cantona last night, you know, having red wine. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Talking about scorpions.
Yeah.
We've got a minute to go, so I'm going to get you a glass of water.
Great, thank you very much.
And have we got new dates? Because Prince ate the other one.
I've just got those out in.
Jess, you'll be pleased to know this. We believe that somebody who breaks somebody's fast, in other words, gives them dates and or food, you get the same reward for helping me break my fast as I get for fasting.
Oh, really?
So how cool is that for you, Lenny? All these blessings you're receiving for feeding me. Thanks.
You're a mensch, mum. That's what you are.
Yeah, absolutely right.
There you go. Eat up, Sadiq.
So you talk while I munch away.
Okay, yeah, all right, fine.
You've got to have
we'll take you through the menu now. Mm. We'll talk about the menu.
This cat doesn't bugger that off. I'm going to kill him.
No, mum.
He's been sick twice tonight.
So he's an attention seeker.
Can I just say, I do not condone killing cats.
No, I don't.
Pets.
I'm a pet lover. Not even annoying ones.
I'm a pet lover.
I love him, but he's
do you have any pets? Do you have any pets?
We have a puppy called Luna, which is now 8 months old, Labrador. She's fantastic.
How are you finding it?
It's like having babies.
And yeah.
Oh my God, the first 2 months, it's like having kids again.
I want him to eat a bit. So go through the menu, right, Mum.
So it's kind of a mixture of different things. So there's some, I've just come back from Greece because I've got a little house there and I love it very much. And I've got, so I made fava, which you know what fava is. So it's split peas. I brought these back from my cousin. She made them for you. I've been in Manchester this week. They're gefilte fish balls. So
Jewish tradition.
Thought you'd quite that. Yeah. And then, we've got some salmon. We've got, those are a special Jewish pieces.
Colour buns.
And I made a spanakopita, which is a spinach pie.
Fantastic.
Which might work on
so it's
it
a
might
bit,
not.
It's a bit like the buffet.
Very, very multicultural, multi-religious. Absolutely. Yeah. This is
well,
a proper other.
I guess we kind of, you know, when we've broken fasts, well, when I'm being a good Jew...
she's always a good Jew. She's always a good Jew.
Don't know about that. But,
oh, his mum, no.
But yeah, so it kind of, you know, we just, it's what we eat, but we also just kind of, I don't know, we also over cater, so it's just like a bit of everything. Do you want to start? Because I don't want you to, I don't want you to not.
He probably's got to eat another 2 meals when he gets
Yeah, are you going to go home and eat with the family?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to eat that much. Whatever
you want. Just so you know, tonight is also. So the last 10 days of Ramadan are quite special. They're the most religious part of the month. And so you get even more blessings. You're opening my fasting during these last 10 days, Lenny. So may you be blessed.
It's Eid on Thursday or Friday.
Eid is probably on Friday. So the reason why I say probably.
Why do you say probably?
Because it's lunar calendar. So we rely upon sighting of the moon.
Crikey. So, who's going to decide that
so
one?
This is, so you ask all the best questions. So because, so we use science because it's very cloudy here. So in, you know, Aegean Arabia 1400 years ago, you'd spot the sun coming out a bit and you'd say, oh, it's a new month, so it's the Eid. Because we're in, you know, Great Britain and it always is cloudy, we are now use science, but also we see...
Can't you as mayor in London decide?
I'm not sure if the clerics would approve of that, you know, the fatwa from the mayor of London. I say it's Eid tomorrow and I want shorter fasts and I want, you know... That's not how it works quite, Lenny, but, you know... So I'm a big fan of programmes about politics. And there was a brilliant one where Kelsey Grammer was the mayor.
Oh, Hannah was in there.
Called Boss. And I had no idea it was your daughter.
Yeah.
And he's quite a horrible mayor. And he's quite,
it's based on Tom Daley, wasn't
not like,
it?
Not like the mayor of London. He was a bit he was a bit dodgy.
He was corrupt.
And it was great. It was only for two seasons.
And Hannah was like the drug-addled, suffering daughter.
I wasn't going to say anything, but she was the sort of the daughter went astray. Yeah, but I didn't realize it was your daughter, your sister and stuff.
Yeah.
But
it's a small world.
Yeah.
Yeah, very weird.
So your claim to fame is you're Lenny's daughter and your sister's sister as well.
Yeah, and then my mates see you on the bus when they're going to teach at Graveney. You're on the tooting bus. So, yeah, it's like, you know.
Well, I'm not sure if I've got an exclusive for you for the podcast.
Oh, come on, then.
I'm not sure if you know what my dad did for a living.
I do know.
Okay.
He was a bus driver.
Oh, that's right. I don't talk about it much. I'm quite shy about this and stuff.
Why?
No, I'm only joking.
Which route did he do?
44.
Where's that?
44 bus starts in Wandsworth, goes all the way to Victoria, And it was a joke during the campaign because I spoke about it a lot.
What did your mum do?
Mum used to make clothes at home. So it's something called piecework. So she was a seamstress and somebody would come around, the middleman, would come around with sort of lots of besses. Yeah. And so I'd see these dresses. She'd get paid 50p to make these dresses. And you'd walk past Chelsea Girl. Remember Chelsea Girl? Top Shop?
Yes.
And you see them being sold for like 30 quid. And you sort of think, hold on a second, this ain't not quite right here. Mum's getting 50p a dress and they've been sold for 30 quid. Somebody's making some money here. And so she'd at the same time as raising 8 children, I've got 6 brothers and 1 sister, she'd raised all of us, and she was making money on the side. There was a sewing machine in the corner of the living room, and she'd be sewing dresses, and we'd help out because you put things, you help out with the piecework and stuff. And no, she should be doing that all day long.
I really want Sadiq to eat some food because I feel like we're just nattering.
Do you mind if we put the kettle on?
Yeah, we'll put the kettle on. Please just eat and relax.
I've never made this before, but I thought I'd have a go.
It's very good.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it just plain spinach?
It's spinach with feta.
I thought so, yeah.
And some onions.
I wanted to ask, do you cook?
I don't cook as much as I used to, but I can cook a good curry.
What's your go-to curry?
Someone would teach me how to cook curry.
Curry bases are all the same, basically, which is a great thing. So curry bases are...
Don't tell me.
You can use... If you're going to use either tinned tomato or fresh tomatoes...
Mm. Yeah.
And onions.
Yeah.
That's your starting point. Tomato and onions... And all curry dishes basically start the same way. There's some difference.
What about your herbs?
But see, first, I've got to get that going for a while. I mean,
I never start with the tomato and onion.
Exactly.
Because I start with the herbs, because I thought you were supposed to make the coriander seeds
and
pop.
Then it depends what you're making. Are you making lentils? What are you making?
I kind of do the same thing.
So some people fry the onions first and then add them to the tomato sauce. That's your base. And then you add the spices as you want. You know, the garam masala, the haldi, the chilies, all that stuff. And that is your base. And then you add, could be chicken, it could be whatever else you want to add. But your base basically is the same. That's when you go to an Indian restaurant, you should ask the waiters what they recommend, because there's 20 types of curry and they use the same bases.
Which is your favourite restaurant?
Yeah, on Tooting High Road, which Indian do you go to?
It's actually a true story, which is, when I was running to be mayor, I sort of said my favourite restaurant was Blah. And I happen to know most of the owners and the staff. And when I next saw any one of the owners of the other restaurants or staff, they would be in tears.
Because they'd say,
basically, the best sort of restaurants are the Lohgrais, the Spice Villages, the Masala Daras, Dawat. And the great thing about them is they are always a good sign. Any ethnic food, if there are people of that ethnicity eating there, it's a good sign. And so all these restaurants have Asians eating there, Pakistani origin eating there, as well as the sort of, you know, the non-Asians eating there, which is a good sign. Their food is great.
And what's your
and good value for money.
Is Asian food your favourite food?
It is. So I'm quite simple. So my favourite Asian dish is what's called dal chawal, lentils and rice. It's basically poor man's food, but I love it. I love other curries as well. And my favourite English dish is fish and chips. So I really am.
Where do you go for your fish and chips? Because you're not going to offend. You can go. You don't. Yeah, go on.
So I like double fried chips or triple fried chips. So anywhere that does those is good.
Thrice fried chips. Oh,
they taste
good.
They're going to be crusty and a bit dark. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So just down the road from you is a Kirby's Remort, which is very good.
Yeah, they're quite good, aren't they?
They're so good.
Do you bring packed lunch to work?
No, they tease me silly if I did that.
Why?
Do you have packed lunch to school?
Mm-hmm.
You did? Were you teased?
Did Florence
tease you? Did you say, you know...
She was like 2 years below. She couldn't tease me. Okay. No, but I was really into cottage cheese and Marmite, which is a really bizarre... Like, on brown bread. So they didn't tease me. They probably just didn't sit
so
with me.
Nobody would bully you for your packed lunch because it was so
Why?
Weird.
Because...
Weird.
Right, well, so you never bring packed lunch?
No.
Leftovers are the best!
What I'll do is... I'm trying to be good. Please, thank you. Yes,
you're trying to be good.
Tiny bit of milk, not a lot.
So salads,
fruit salads, sandwich odd days. Because the problem is, I got into bad habits when I was an MP, which is eating late and eating fried food because I don't drink. So when you're on a high, you know, a lot of colleagues unfortunately would drink to get them on a down.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. That's perfect. Thank you very much. And so I'd eat fried food on the way home, get a takeaway, and eat late at night, and I put on quite a bit of weight. And also, you know, I try and avoid lunch meetings because you end up eating. And so,
will you have a holiday this summer?
Not booked it yet, but we are planning to take some holiday. Now that my daughters are older, 16 and 18, I worked out age 12 onwards, they stopped enjoying going on holiday with mum and dad. Until 12, they'd do what you say. They'd always listen to mum and dad.
I have to say, I've met them a few times and they are
so gorgeous, so polite.
But right, sharp, beautiful girls. You must be really proud.
Yeah, they are our greatest humans, our daughters. And they're lovely. And so for 16 years, my daughters were giving me a hard time about getting a puppy. 16 years of, you know, we want a puppy, we want a puppy, we want a puppy. One Monday I said, you know what? Okay, then. And by the Saturday, they'd found a puppy. They'd been Skype interviewed by the puppy owner. And they'd arranged my diary for me to go and collect this puppy, Luna. And she's been amazing. I'll tell you why, because she's, you know, with teenage children, there's very few things. You don't eat together as much because, you know, they've got their own life. You don't do social events together. We don't go to the same gigs as much as we used to. And so Luna is the sort of glue in our family. We all love Luna. You know, Sadia, the girls.
Has life changed a lot since being mayor for your family?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. But everyone knows you. Everyone wants to ask you a question. And it must be hard for your teenage daughters, I imagine.
Yeah, it's all consuming. I mean, my daughters realised early doors. I mean, when I became an MP, I'm an MP in the area where they were born and raised in, Tooting. My oldest was 5 and a bit, and my youngest was 3 and a bit. And so they tweaked quite early on. When we're out and about, they can ask me for anything because I can't say no. Because, you know, there are voters watching. Mm-hmm. So we'd be, yeah, they're so sharp. They order stuff at restaurants that they knew, they, you know, they'd ask for sweets in public because, you know, or ice cream, you know, because they'd worked out, they twigged early doors.
No, that's clever. My daughter's going to be exactly the same, I know.
Yeah, they twigged. They're very sharp, these kids. It's a bit more difficult. So at the same time, they grew up knowing that dad maybe eating a restaurant, and somebody will have a conversation with him. And they were very good, always being great at just realising that's part of my job and being very, very good, not like tagging away and stuff. But it's tough. It's tough now because being the mayor is all-consuming. Yeah. I mean, it's a seven-day-a-week job. There is no downtime. So it's difficult for them, and I try and protect their privacy, you know,
Will you run again?
I will be running again to be the mayor, yes. Fantastic. It's the first time I've said that publicly.
Actually. Oh, there we and go. So, there yeah, we go.
So I will be
you running should. Again to be mayor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So when you decided to be an MP, was the goal being the mayor, or kind of it wasn't even thought about then?
No, not at all. It wasn't. I mean, it'd been the height of arrogance to assume I could be the mayor when I, you know, my mission was to be the best MP I could for my area, Tooting, to represent Tooting in Parliament, to be an advocate for Tooting, a champion for Tooting. That was dream fulfilled. Being a lawyer, I grew up watching LA Law. Remember LA Law?
Yeah.
So
Mum loves it.
I did science A-levels. I did biology, chemistry and maths. I was destined to be the world's greatest dentist. And then a combination of LA Law and my maths teacher telling me I was so good at arguing I should consider being a lawyer.
Where did you go to university?
North London. Very late. I lastminute.com, I decided to apply for law. And I love being a lawyer. And I did human rights law. I love doing that. You know, and so I wanted to be like, you know, Fuentes and Cusack, you know, doing great cases, driving nice cars, wearing nice clothes. And
what are you watching on the TV now?
So, trying to think, I'm watching more on the show. Do you ever hear of Madam Sec?
No.
Madam Sec is a...
Madam Secretary.
It's a, about a female foreign secretary in America.
Yeah. So you like home. You like these kind of Homeland.
You watch Homeland? It's just finished now. I don't want to spoiler alert. Have you finished it?
Yeah, no, I've watched it.
I gave up.
Oh, no.
I thought it was the best.
This one was
series.
Good. This one was good. Because this one is back. And also, it's very realistic about what's going on and stuff. It's a bit close to home, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was so...
And if you've got a big dysfunctional family like I have, Modern Family, do you watch Modern Family?
I love Modern Family.
It's so good.
It's just funny, isn't it?
It's the best, isn't it?
I like the best. Hospital dramas.
Such as what? Holby City.
Holby City. Law and Order. I like. No, she doesn't like Holby City. It's the one.
No,
it's
the only one I don't watch.
Really?
But I no.
Did you just watch ER? That was
ER. I watched Grey's Anatomy. I watched Grey's still.
I discovered Grey's is
still going.
I find it astonishing.
Grey's Anatomy, there's a new one, The Resident, Casualty. I watch all the...
She's the only person that still watches Casualty. I watch 24
Hours in A&E at George's.
That's really good, isn't it?
Wonderful.
Isn't it good?
And The Ambulance.
You realise that they've got... The jobs they do is just nothing but, I mean, all of them. I mean, all our emergency services, you know, whether it's police, fire service, but the A&E, those... I mean, all of them. Amazing.
Yeah, because... There's been a lot in... You know, I had an acid attack on my road about a month ago.
Yeah.
And I saw this awful video. I don't know if you've seen it. It was on Facebook. Somebody was, and it was in Streatham. Have you seen these school kids that, and somebody gets stabbed and they're in school uniforms? And I'm like, my husband used to live on the road, like next door. And it just feels like it's getting closer and closer.
The bad news is, I mean, you know, violent crime has gone up the last three years. I mean, literally, there was a stabbing a road not far from here on Friday. A young boy in school uniform.
That's the video that maybe has.
Yeah, and look, there are a variety of complex reasons why violent crime is going up. I'm a firm believer in investing in young people. I'm not excusing criminality, by the way. The people who use a knife are responsible, but we've got to invest in young people in prevention. There was a great phrase Tony Blair had called toughen crime. The second line of that was toughen the causes of crime.
Yeah.
That means investing in schooling, in youth centres, in after-school clubs.
I know that very troubled youngsters, sometimes the only thing that they've got is the youth worker. And they're closing all the facilities down.
The youth workers are like surrogate parents for these kids. Mm. They give them constructive things to do. They make best mates there.
Yeah.
And
even if the kids don't go to a youth club, the youth worker knows all the kids in the community.
Work. Absolutely right.
And they're
they've
connected
been
with
slashed
them.
Over the last 7-8 years.
Why?
Combination. Because actually most councils who fund youth centres get their money from central government. They've lost lots of money. They've got to make tough choices. But at the same time as we've had the cuts in youth services and schools and preventative services and mental health, we've had cuts in the police.
So
there are a few police officers now, any time in the last 15 years because of central government cuts, and so you're seeing, Jesse, I'm afraid, the consequences of cuts.
I just want to go back to Sounds Like London, just because growing up, did you go out clubbing?
One of the best concerts I went to, Clapham Common, Artists Against Apartheid. Remember that?
Yeah. So who was playing?
There was Sting, Gary Kemp from Spandau played. It's a free concert at Clapham Common. It was when Mandela was still in prison. It was the mid-80s. I mean, everyone who was big played. Yeah. I know it was the same day as the Wham final concert. The reason why I know this is because...
You couldn't get tickets for Wham.
No. There were two types of people in the world. Those that went to the Wham final and those who went to Artists Against Apartheid in Clapham Common. And I was the latter. I love Wham, though, by the way.
Me too.
But yeah. But Boy George made a nice... I even now remember the joke Boy George made about, George Michael in the final and stuff, whereas we're... But there was a rivalry, wasn't there?
I know I used to go on apartheid marches.
You would have been there.
So
actually, my first concert was where you performed the other night. It was my first concert was Bon Jovi. No, it wasn't Bon Jovi. It was Aswad. Aswad.
Shine like a star. That was your first.
They
concert.
Got to number one as well. Aswad did, didn't they? Aswad. They got to number. They got to number one, and so suddenly had people singing reggae. You thought, whoa! It wasn't UB40.
That's wicked. So are you? Would you say you're more into kind of reggae than
rock? I'm sort of mainstream. I was R&B, mainstream. Everyone loved Michael Jackson. I mean, remember Shalimar? Yeah. So I remember when Jeffrey Downs performed the sort of breakdance and moonwalk on Top of the Pops. Everyone the next day, before your time, Jesse, everyone the next day in the playground was doing the moonwalk and, you know, Shalimar.
Could you do that? Do you remember?
I could actually. I was okay.
Exclusive,
I
was okay. Right,
yeah. No, I could do
it. The mayor can do the moonwalk. You're going to have to do it at Pride now.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't breakdance anymore. I can't hip hop. My daughters have forbidden.
You used to do breakdancing.
My daughters have forbidden me to do. I'm not allowed to dance or sing in public outside the house.
Have you got a voice?
Here she goes. No, I can't sing.
We could duet on the next
one. I think I'm great, but my daughters say I'm rubbish. But
what's your karaoke song?
I've done karaoke for years. It depends who the crowd is and stuff. I mean, there are some easy songs you can do, can't you? So Beatles are always easy. A Beatles song is always easy.
Yeah, you can always get everyone going as well. Like everyone can do. What's yours actually, Mum? What would be your karaoke song?
I Will Survive.
Oh, wow.
everyone does that. Come on.
All right, then. But I'm not going to hit the notes for Whitney, am I?
No, but you used to make me try and do it in Club Med, didn't you?
It's painful. I mean, I don't think so. So if you think in our combined karaoke experience, how many times have we seen somebody actually perform that song and not murder it?
No, you always murder it.
Yeah, everyone always murders it. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I always just did I Want to Dance with Somebody. You don't do I Will Always Love You.
No,
because remember in Club Med, you'd be like, go on, sing. You want to be a singer? Yeah. Sing. Karaoke. I was like, at 12, and I was like, I don't want to do this. You were so mean. Pushy Jesse Jewish mother.
I think that's Jessie's way of saying thank you, Mum, for pushing me to become successful.
You didn't touch that well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you loved singing, Jessie. You drove us mad with singing, so...
Do you sometimes... Okay, so you are the Mayor of London. This is a pretty aspirational job. It's an important job. It's essential. Do you ever kind of... If in another life, what would... Do you think you'd go back into politics, or would be this kind of other job you would do?
Well, when I was little, I wanted to be a cricketer, and I had trials for Surrey. They made a big mistake not taking me on. It was a miscarriage of justice there. I think most people dream about being a singer. Actually, don't they? Most your mates at school, what do they dream about doing?
Yeah, they wanted to be an Oasis, really, I think. So, yeah, like...
When you say with Oasis, you mean...
They wanted to be Liam and Noel.
Oh, not Blur?
No, we were more Oasis, yeah. Why, were you a Blur?
No, they're both okay. They're both a bit up themselves. But I like David Alban's politics. I think he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
So, one of the things that did affect me growing up is the sort of music I enjoyed and I really got into was people with good politics. So, Sting and the Police, Damon and Blur, they've got good politics, and I just think I've never experienced it, but it must be a massive privilege having fans. The idea that somebody has paid to go and see you in concert or to download your tracks or to buy, you know, no money CDs, and you know they're young and they're impressionable, and I think you've got a real important position here. I mean, I'm remember the Jam and Paul Weller. I mean, you got a responsibility here. You got an audience here, but I just think, you know, using that pedestal that you're on, whether you like it or not, you are. It's quite so. You know, the idea of you being a UNICEF ambassador. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's really important. So, not being funny, there are some people, and forgive me if everyone already has heard of UNICEF, who will now listen to this, know that Jesse Ware is an ambassador, and say, "What does UNICEF does?" Or they may have donated even just a 10 quid text yesterday, money towards UNICEF, which otherwise they wouldn't have done. So, you know, I think it's quite important.
Maybe you should go to UNICEF cricket match.
I know. Well, I'm thinking we do cricket aid, and you basically you could be the manager, you could be player manager.
I'm a bit of a control freak.
Are you a bowler or a bat?
The Oval.
Oh, I see. I'm clever. I'm an all-rounder. I do both.
Oh, okay.
Always hedge your bets, you see. Because if you're out early batting, it doesn't matter, you can bowl. And so, even better if you're the captain.
Jesse, I think it's a good
idea. So, do you watch football?
Yeah, I play every Sunday. So, basically, I still play with mates. I play with the same mates for the last 25 years.
You're in a Sunday league football team?
It's not a league. It's
okay, you know, just kick about.
No, it's a proper game. What do you mean?
Oh, sorry. 90 minutes?
It's like proper football, is it? Just a kickabout.
I'm just loving the fact that you'd be in like one of my husband's my husband's leagues, and they'd turn up.
We have a couple of rules. We don't have sliding tackles because there's too many fights. The idea of grown men having a fight is not cool. And
it happens a lot in Sunday League.
It happens a lot.
Sadiq, do you support a football team?
Like all good South Londoners, I support Liverpool. And so,
Klopp is such a joy. Isn't
how charismatic is he? I challenge you to watch.
He smiles all the time.
I challenge you to watch any of his interviews and not just smile and not just feel positive. And what a wonderful...
He's positive and he's enthusiastic and he runs up and down.
He's a good example, by the way. He's small p political. He did a great interview with The Guardian talking about, European Union and, you know... Great interview. And he's an intelligent man. And you'd want the manager of a business, the manager of a team, to be an intelligent person. And so, he's great. Diets, the sort of players that play... ethos of the team. And it was actually a funny story about, a wonderful story about Liverpool. I met an 11-year-old about 4 months ago, and his mum was telling me that her son is very quiet. He was very quiet. And she said one day, he was in the car with three of his mates who she was driving around. He's an Asian kid, Muslim kid. And they're all singing a Mo Salah song. His friends are not Asian. And so Mo Salah being successful has made young Muslims feel so good about themselves, because you've got Liverpool fans who aren't Muslim. They've made songs about Mo Salah, about his faith in a positive way. And there's a great line in one of their chants, you know, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. If you go to the mosque, I'll go to one too. And so that's sort of... And so you got football. And so when I grew up, you'd have great players like John Barnes have bananas thrown at them. You know, I remember going to a Chelsea... I remember my brothers, rather, going to a Chelsea game, being racially abused and chased away by the NF. I remember going to a game, Wimbledon, where they were in the, where they were in the old First Division, at Plough Lane playing Spurs, and me being racially abused. And so to have a situation where 20, 30 years on, you know, we are one of the world leaders in kicking racism out of football. We've got great footballers of different faiths, Mo Salah and Sane, both Muslim in Liverpool, Arsenal, Muslim players, Man City, different races, different ethnicities. It's wonderful, because that's how you change attitudes. You know, yeah. I can do 100 speeches, but actually a song or a sports star, you know, can really affect things. You know, having your values, you know, articulated in a way that otherwise wouldn't cut through. That's why I think it's important, whether you're a UNICEF ambassador, whether you're a footballer. And what Klopp does is amazing. He just makes you feel great about yourself. Yeah, and, you know,
that big smile.
Yeah, whether and that's...
Wouldn't you want to work hard for him if you were a player?
Absolutely. The reason why I've always loved sports, both playing and also watching, is it teaches you life skills. How to be magnanimous in victory, how to be dignified in defeat, how to, when you're in a team sport, put your arm around somebody and raise them as Klopp does. Or sometimes you've got to shout at somebody, you know, you got to perform that 12-year-old, as a 12-year-old, you got to perform that song, karaoke. And that's what leadership is about. That's what being a good leader is about. And Klopp does it, I think, so well.
My mum's a dictator. I've got to ask, speaking of dictators, one's coming quite soon to our country, our city.
Nice segue.
I was quite pleased with that, actually. has he been in touch? Do you want to get a cup of tea?
Let me tell you a remarkable thing about President Trump. I'm the mayor of London. I'm a humble mayor. And I'm really busy. And the only thing I've got time to look at my Twitter feed, let alone tweet. It's just, you know, honestly.
It's extraordinary.
I mean, you will know this. I say this not in a pompous way, but we had to block this date out weeks in advance because, you know. The idea that the president of the USA, the leader of the free world, looks at Twitter and then tweets about me. I just don't understand how he's got the time to do that. It's a bit weird. And so I didn't want to get involved in this ding dong. I'm not a, you know, a active participant. But actually, when you've got, and look, you, Jesse, you spend lots of time in America. We love America.
Love Americans. Absolutely.
What a great country. We're influenced by their music, by their culture, by their politicians. I mean, I love JFK, I like Robert Kennedy,
Bernie.
Martin Luther King, you know, Bernie Sanders, the Clintons, the Obamas. We love America. West Wing, you know what I mean?
Madam Secretary.
Jed Bartlett and
Scandal?
Madam Secretary.
You like Scandal?
It's got a bit silly now, hasn't
it? Yeah, it has got a bit silly.
And, you know, America is a beacon for us in the world. Mm. Values, pluralism. And when President Trump says things that I find so objectionable, I think you've got to say something about it. Yeah. And the great thing about having best mates, and that's what USA and the UK are, we're best mates. The special relationship is, obviously, you stand shoulder to shoulder at times of adversity, you know, we're with each other if there's troubles, but you've got to call them out when they're wrong. And I think if you just reflect on what President Trump has done, he's retweeted messages from far-right groups, you know, Britain First, who have, by the way, been banned by Facebook. He's retweeting their sort of messages of hate, amplifying messages of hate, giving them credibility they otherwise haven't got. You know, I remember going to the Women's March in relation to some of the concerns in relation to how he treats women and stuff. Mm-hmm. But even, I just think, why wouldn't you speak out about that? Why'd you have to be a sycophant and, you know, always, you know? And so he is coming, it looks like, to London. I'm pleased it's not a state visit with the whole, all that involved. So we'll have to wait and see how it pans out. We should have a relationship with him. Of course we should.
Do you know where he's coming to? Or?
I could, but I couldn't possibly tell you.
No, I understand you'd have to kill me afterwards. But
why don't you? And your listeners. And say,
But I'll be out there.
Well, there's lots. I mean, you know, there are.
Will you be popping down to Downing Street on the 13th of July?
One of the great things. One of the great things about our values is that we can. That's the great thing about democracy. Yeah. I think it's right and proper for me to be criticised by the media. We have a free press. I think it's right and proper for us to be active citizens and to march and to lobby and to protest. It should be peacefully. We cannot have anybody who thinks it's okay to cause criminal damage or to cause harm done properly. It's really important. And that's how you bring about change. And, you know, you can change. There's a great Martin Luther King quote, which is, you know, I can legislate to change the way you act, but not the way you think. But over a period of time, by changing the way you act, changes the way you think. And so, for example, you know, bringing in laws, when my parents first came to this country, there were signs saying, no blacks, no Irish, no dogs, right? At B&Bs, at guest houses, and all the rest of it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was a Labour government that said, you can't do that, it's against the law. First, B&B owners or guest houses hated doing it, but they had to take it down because it was against the law. But over a period of time, by mixing with us, they realised we're not the boogeyman, we're okay, and they started to change the way they think about us. And I think similarly, protest is a good way of changing public opinion. And so when people see, well, two things. Firstly, we're not anti-American or anti-America. We love both those things, Americans and America. So it's not anti-American. But when people see that actually London, a city that loves Americans and America, where Americans are made at their home, are peacefully protesting against some of the things the president is doing, I'm hoping people will notice that. It's got to be done properly and peacefully and stuff. But, you know, that's who we are. We demonstrate with the things we're unhappy about.
Last question before you leave. And we ask everybody, your last supper, what would it consist of?
If I'm honest, and this, it winds up my family because I'm so lacking in ambition and imagination, but I do love fish and chips. It's got to be bad cod.
Interesting.
It's got to be proper chips with garden peas, not mushy peas. I'm not northern. Okay. I'm a garden peas man.
Okay. And no curry sauce.
No.
They do it in London.
Two pickled onions. Okay. Got to have ketchup and brown sauce and vinegar. Yeah.
You have all the condiments.
All the condiments. I'm a condiments man. I mean, I love chili sauce. All the condiments and stuff. That is good. And I love my dessert. So you've got to have dessert as well.
Well, you're going to have to take some of this dessert. No, definitely.
But
would it be?
The dessert would be, could be a number of things. I had the other night, I had a fritterolls, which were lovely. I love fritterolles.
Very retro. We need to bring them back, Mum. Yeah.
That's when we were growing up, weren't they? That was a big thing.
Well, yeah, it was like Italian night, dinner out.
Posh, if you're lucky. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Love cheesecake.
Yeah.
I baked my first ever Victoria sponge about 3 months ago. My daughter taught me how to make a Victoria sponge.
How did it turn out?
A good Victoria sponge. It was great. Perfect. It was perfect.
You going to enter Bake Off?
No, not quite. Okay, I've only baked one thing in my life, so, you know, I don't want to be Ed Balls of baking.
Thank you so much for
it's
doing
it. It's been a pleasure.
This.
Thank you for feeding me, and may you be rewarded in this world and the hereafter, as the prayer goes.
It's been such a pleasure to have you. Mum?
Yes?
You just cooked for the mayor of London.
Know. And he did eat.
He did eat. And he chatted, so it was hard for him to eat.
And I was very pleased that I'd made the extra effort about the dates, because I'm blessed by my
I think
Muhammad
he appreciated that. I don't know if he appreciated the cat who'd been vomiting before,
but
trying to lick them.
I had another packet.
To clarify, we did change the dates.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've met him a few times, and you've kind of met, but he's...
He's just warm. He's genuine.
He is genuine.
He's lovely. He's normal. He's not pompous in any way. I think he's got a genuine commitment to London. He loves London.
Well, he should, and I think he does. And yeah. I think he's doing some brilliant things. But, I mean, Aswad.
What's the song again?
Come on and shine. Shine like a star. Shining so bright, like the star that you are. Oh, shine. I just imagining young Sadiq Khan in the audience of Hammersmith Apollo, shocking out to that.
And he's seen Bon Jovi as well.
Yeah, he slipped that in too, yeah. Didn't he? And he doesn't, he likes Blur a little, well, he likes Damon a little bit more than Oasis.
Don't blame
me. We learnt a lot of things tonight, Mum.
Yeah. I got the impression he'd go home and eat more.
Well, Mum, he's got a few hours to be able to
I
eat.
Know, but he did look a bit tired.
I can't even imagine what his schedule is like.
He'd not fasted all day, yeah.
We take the day off when we fast.
I know. Yeah, because we're supposed to be in synagogue all day, darling. That's the whole point of it.
Okay.
That they're more pragmatic.
Thanks so much, Mr. Mayor, Sadiq Khan, for coming on Table Manners. We know you have an incredibly important and busy job trying to make
London
brilliant.
I'm so pleased he fitted us in. And Eid Mubarak for him.
Eid Mubarak and for everybody else.
Yes.
Now, Table Manners listeners who've been listening for a while, you know we're obsessed about food and we'd love to hear what you're eating. We've started up an Instagram, which is at Table Manners Podcast. And we'd love you to tag us or at us with your meals, whether that's your desired last meal or it's the worst meal you've ever had this week or a recipe that you'd like us to try. We're game. We'd just like to hear from you and see what you're cooking and get to know you a little bit better. So that's something that's starting. We've also decided to launch Second Helpings, which is a little bit extra, an extra dollop of Lennyware and Jessieware. And it will be on Fridays and it will just be a kind of a shorter podcast of basically Mum and I berating each other. If you liked Table Manners, but really you're all here for Lenny, go to Second Helpings.
I don't think they're just here for me, darling.
Sadiq just told me that he thinks you're the star.
You're a bit jealous.
No.
Okay.
Spread your wings and fly, mother.
Okay, darling.
The music you've been listening to is by Peter Duffy and Peter Fraser. Leave us a rate and a review. 5 stars, please. And let us know who you think was Paxman tonight. Mum's pointing at herself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.